At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Shador played a game yesterday. I liked the first half. The second half, meh. But many people didn't like the game plan that the Browns drew up for Shador. Were you one of those people?
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like the second half. I've never seen Shador play a game like that, and it was just perplexing. And I get it. If you want to tell me after the fact, 40-mile-per-hour winds just was what it was. Okay, fine. But even like the final drive before the half, you went 9 straight running plays before then. Shador seems like he just kind of took control and then had the big play to Fannin. I don't know in what world they think that was the right recipe or the right call. I thought there were a lot of good things in the first half. The second half is just not how Shador should operate.
I felt like the second half was a massive regression to the mundane for the Browns, and that's the problem I have. I thought you did a really good job of mixing up what you were going to do on each down, and I don't think it's coincidence that for the first time in as long as I can remember, you were putting your rookie quarterback in a lot of third and shorts or third and manageables, even third and fives you can deal with as a young quarterback. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when they stopped doing that, when it became run on first down, run on second down, and by the way, mostly running within the tackles, when it became that, all of a sudden, the offense became very, very predictable, and all of a sudden, the offense couldn't move the damn ball.
And they also decided that they were going to rely so much on the run as their offensive line was falling apart in the game. Yeah. You started having so many injuries, and you started having KT Levinston back on the field and all these other type of guys, and Tellers being rotated in and out, and all that. We can talk about that. That was a weird situation, too. But, like, there's all the offensive line is changing, and it is falling apart in the game, and their response to it was, okay, let's run the ball more.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you got 40 second half running yards. Like it was pretty obvious. I don't know. I thought the game plan in the second half was pretty atrocious, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and it's like they're also doing this while having the average starting field position by the fourth quarter at your own 21. Mm-hmm. That's really brutal. And like I think San Francisco ran into the all-time luck game. All right, the special team snafus they were given, that the Browns gave them, basically, their ridiculous starting position. You said this earlier. You don't think Brock Purdy had it in him to go 80 yards in that weather?
I don't.
I think you're spot on. I think your quarterback played better than their quarterback in the first half, and it wasn't even close. And then you decided, okay, that's enough of that. And like, I don't think it's tanking. I don't think it's somebody came down from the front office and said, hey, tamp that down. We got to try and get the highest pick we can. But I understand why some fans are tweeting that at us today. That was such a stark contrast how they operate in the second half. And specifically when in the first half, it felt like the 49ers were saying, we dare you to play it safe. We dare you to hit the open man. Mm-hmm. We dare you to run for 4 yards and then pass for 5 yards and then convert that third down. We dare you to do that, right? And then in the second half, it felt like they said, we dare you to throw long. And the fact you didn't try it at least once or twice. And I know, like, many of those drives didn't get past the first 3 or 4 plays. Totally get that. At some point, you have to try and make things happen because at the same point,
yeah.
What did they also do in the second half when it was 3rd and 15? The team that is scared bleepless of Shador dropping back and turning his back to the defense and holding on to the ball too long decided to run an actual play on 3rd and 15 that took you out of field goal range.
Yeah.
Like it's those things that just don't line up with the other parts that they're trying to do.
So wait, so you were getting messages, people wondering if they were trying to tank?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely had one. I can't remember my guy on Instagram, but he said, hey, just trust the process.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out, and this goes into even the rotation thing with Teller and Tevin Jenkins. Like, I really don't understand what they were doing in that moment, especially since both of them are going to be free agents at the end of the year. It's not like all of a sudden if they got something with Jenkins, he's going to be the guy next season. He's also a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, but maybe he's a cheaper re-sign and they want to get a look at him.
I mean, yeah, right? Like, seriously, I know that's like dripped with sarcasm, but like, what are we doing here?
So if Wyatt was too hurt to play the full game, it probably tells you, by the way, Wyatt shouldn't have played at all then.
And by the way, he graded out as the best player on offense yesterday. So he's playing injured, but he's playing at a really high level.
So I think that was what's frustrating. Also, it was his 100th career start. So we say congratulations to Wyatt, because what infuriated me is the broadcast made it seem like this had been part of the plan.
And Wyatt did too. And here's the thing. So you come out today and we get more info, obviously, and Wyatt's already ruled out for next weekend. But like, Wyatt after the game was talking about how it was performance related.
Mm-hmm.
Like they left with the assumption that it was performance related. And so I weird miscommunication throughout all of this.
I just see to that. I would go, why are you messing with the one guy who should be here next year? Off the offensive line you're playing with. I know Tevin has not played a lot of left guard. If we were doing performance-related things, Joel Bitonio whiffed on a couple big blocks yesterday. I love Joel. But if we're starting to bench dudes...
Joel pushed the one guy right into Shador.
Yes. Which play was it? It was on a short yardage play where basically Joel just Olay'd. And again, that's... Joel just might not have the goods anymore, so I'm not putting it on Joel. Even though the interior of the offensive line's been your better part... I thought I would really love it. I don't know. If we had a real organization, it'd be really nice to hear why you're treating Wyatt Teller like that. Because I would say after 7 years of being an ass kicker and a name taker, he deserved a little bit better than that.
I think so, too. I just thought it was really, really something was up. Let's put it that way.
Oh, is that the accountability?
This is the type of thing that always happens, though.
That's the guy that we got to hold accountable. One of the toughest guys in the team. One of the hardest playing guys. Not anybody loafing or like a receiver that consistently drops the ball and then screams at the quarterback. No, that's not the guy we hold accountable.
Again, Teller said after the game that he saw his role cut because he's not playing well enough. And then today you come out and they come out and it's like, well, he's injured and he's not going to be playing next week and all these other things. And it's like, well, did you want to see Jenkins in there or is he actually injured? And by the way, the grades say he was awesome yesterday in what he was asked to do. So like, you see how confusing and maddening this is? Other teams don't get to operate this way, by the way. And I'm not saying this is anyone's responsibility or anything. This is just the stuff that they continue to pull. Why are you shaking us in a million different directions on something as simple as what happened with Wyatt Teller in the game yesterday?
With a really good football player and a guy who's been the backbone of your locker room for a while.
Did they tell him after this game, hey, say it's performance issues, and we'll find out everything later?
No, I think Wyatt's just not a puppet.
I mean,
he's one of the guys there that is not a puppet, and that's why we love Wyatt. Are part of the reason why we love Wyatt, on top of being a great football
player. But then
player.
On top of that, what are you evaluating if, again, and it's not that PFF is the end-all be-all, but you watched with your eyes, he wasn't the problem on that line. There was no part of Wyatt Teller that should have been replaced yesterday for performance issues.
Is it basically because you can't replace Cam Robinson and KT Leviston that... You just have to bench somebody.
You see how it makes me even question what's going on right now with him? So is Wyatt Teller injured or is it performance issues? They came out today, says he's injured and going to miss next week. Well, okay. All right. Is that the truth or is that just what you want us to think?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's what they want us to think.
I know. You see how maddening this whole thing is, though? It's so up the wall crazy. They can never just be direct with anything. They can never just tell us the truth about anything. And just trying to keep track of it all, you're going to get 75 different reports that leaves your brain in a blender when it's all said and done.
Also,
other teams don't do it like this.
Also, you're doing this to Wyatt, which is going to make it... the fact the guy hasn't already been extended is one issue, but...
Another thing, good luck extending the guy that apparently, according to him, you benched him for performance issues in a game he was actually playing well.
216-474-0092.
Good luck trying to get that done.
How does Sunday, let's go here. Do you question the Browns' plan for Shador on Sunday? Let's go with Alex in Fairlawn. Welcome to the show. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
I really thought the world of Alex. I really thought.
I know.
And did
you really want to give him a chance
did
here?
I take this call?
Oh, we got him. Wait, from the dead, he rises.
Alex, you there?
I have risen from the dead.
Look at that. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I just want to get to the bottom of this quick with Jonathan. Jonathan,
yes.
Are you going to take a punch
yes.
from Mike Tyson
anyone.
For $1 million?
Anyone for $1 million. One punch, anyone.
Okay, you're insane.
Anyone
I'm
on planet
sorry.
Earth.
Like, there's no way.
What okay. do you mean, no way?
Mike Tyson punches you once, you have a 50-50 shot of having your face just completely destroyed.
That's worth it for $1 million. That's where my jaw might crack in 27 places, but for $1 million, let's get going.
So you want basically wow. you take it the wrong punch from the wrong guy, and another guy spending that money on your
Listen,
wife and kids
I 3 years
from now.
I can find at least they'll be well taken care of. Okay, I can find a lot of people that are getting in these fights for free on the weekends. Okay, I just you're going to pay me $1 million to get in these one punch. I'm taking that.
Because they're not fighting Mike Tyson.
Well,
that's true.
Again, it's,
yet.
Well, so not, how about that guy on the airplane that provoked him, and he turned around and got punched by Mike Tyson, and then got sued by Mike Tyson after the fact because of it. How about that guy?
Yeah.
What a loser that guy is. No $1 million for him and a lawsuit.
And trying to flip it on its ear. Do you have another point there, Alex? I heard you said you wanted to get something.
Just a quick statement. I know the special teams were obviously atrocious yesterday. But just watching the game yesterday, this offensive line still week in and week out, I understand it's aged, it's this, it's that. It's just, it is atrocious. This needs to be addressed. I mean, it has to be, honestly, I feel like this has to be our first pick off the draft.
So this is kind of, and Alex, we thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Alex.
That's kind of the hope. That's one of my great hopes of if Shador can actually just show you something. Because I would love to just be able to spend it, whether it's the your first-round pick or the Jacksonville first-round pick on a left tackle and a wide receiver. So my problem is not you'd take $1 million to get punched by Miles. My problem is
anyone.
A punch from Miles should not be worth the same thing as a punch from Lane Kiffin. If a punch from Lane Kiffin is hypothetically worth $1 million, then for Miles to get a no BS, clear, take your first shot at me, that's at least $10 million.
I think you set the bar at Lane Kiffin's entirely too high is the premise here. Because if I take $1 million from anybody, the amount of money I would take for Lane Kiffin is far lower than that. So I think the bar that you set initially is the problem. A punch by Lane Kiffin might be, I don't know, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000.
The man's getting paid $13 million a year. You're getting at least six figures for that punch.
Fine, give me more. I don't care. I'm telling you what my price is to be punched once by Lane Kiffin. It's not that high. First off, I don't think he's going to have a great right hook. There's like a 50-50 chance he just whiffs. Yeah. But on top of it, I don't think I'm walking away getting injured.
Layla comes in and punches you harder.
I really don't think I'm getting injured in this Lane Kiffin punch. So, right. Like, I don't know. $12,000 seems fair to me.
We're going to build the trust, the bridge to trust town here. We're saying the same thing, which is that a punch from Myles Garrett is not equal financially to a punch from Lane Kiffin. We
right,
agree.
But there is no punch that I would deem too hard or would hurt me too much that would be for $1 million, I'll take any of. For $1 million, just bring it on. One punch. I can do 24 hours in the hospital. If that's the end of my. If that's like my fate.
What if you come out with brain damage?
I mean, geez, that's a roll of the dice in this equation. For $1 million, I'll take that roll of the dice.
$1 million is not that much money anymore.
Think about what you just said. Just say that back to yourself. Just one more time.
Which part? The brain damage or the million?
Least relatable thing you've ever said in your life. Just say that one more time.
No, it's not like this. Is not $1 million 20 years ago.
Does not go that far anymore.
20 years ago, I'd take a punch from somebody for $1 million.
I'm sorry. I didn't know $1 million was just nothing these days.
Listen, no, so Johnny.
Apparently, I'm on the wrong end of this.
$1 million after taxes. Not even going to pay off your house in North Sullivan.
You even bend down to pick up $1 million, Nick. It's that little of a pittance.
That actually would do. 216. I hope somebody. Can you drop $1 million on the ground? In front of me, I'm not taking it to the cops. I'm not telling anyone, except my banker.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Because I'm paying off my house. For the second straight week, my only frustration around the entire Shador conversation is I think people who are partial to Shador have enough evidence to go ahead and say, hey, I think this is really interesting. Let's keep doing this. And I think the people who are, I don't want to say against Shador, but against Shador have enough evidence to say this is why he'll never be anything.
But I do think where both sides meet in the middle is the idea that we'd rather see Shador for the rest of the way than not.
I don't know that.
Is that conversation starting to flip? That's a sad point if that's true.
I don't get that. I don't get anyone who feels like they need to see more of Dylan Gabriel, especially when Dylan came in for one play yesterday and on a 1st and 20. Threw it to the line of scrimmage, and then it was 2nd and 20.
Yeah.
Like, that one play screwed that drive. Now, I'm not saying that Shador would have all of a sudden made it, now you convert, and then it's I'm saying he at least given you a chance. And I think that through two games of Shador, 6 or 7 games of Dylan, I honestly don't know how there are any Browns fans looking at this and go, we actually did have somebody, I can't remember if it was on the 92 Through the Fan YouTube chat or whether it was on Twitter. They're like, man, I'd love to see what Dylan could do in a better surroundings. And I'm like, you're seeing it. The surroundings don't matter to Dylan. Could he be slightly better? Well, yeah, I'm sure. Any quarterback could be slightly better with a better offensive line and better weapons. Mm-hmm. But the point is, the scheme isn't holding him back. That is a quarterback that is afraid to throw farther than 5 yards down the field.
Right, right.
And we saw it in one play. With Shador, I don't know if Shador is going to be able to pick up everything he needs to whether it's read offenses, call out coverages. I give him credit that he probably can. I don't know definitively can. I give him some leg up because, football DNA and whatever. But I've at least seen the physical plays. The throw to Fannin, the throw to Bond. Honestly, even the throw to Judy, I think the wind just caught it. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing enough throws that I'm like, well, I'd like to see more of that. I don't understand how people don't look at that and go, well, I like throwing the ball down the field, so I guess we'll rock with Shador for five more games.
The game is built on big plays. You have to make big plays, and he gives you that opportunity. Now, the disappointing part for myself, Nick, is I thought he was Stefanski-proofed. I thought that there was no way that Shador could fall susceptible to trying to have those golden handcuffs that I think he put Joe Flacco with, and the same thing he did with Dylan Gabriel, where it's just you're going to throw 5 yards and you're going to be happy about it and you're going to like it. In the second half of that game, what I think happened, and Shador talked about it in the postgame, he overthrew Jerry Jeudy in the very first drive, And I think that shook him in a way, because the wind was such a factor. And I think he just there was a part of him that just said, OK, fine, I'm not going to make a lot of big plays. I'm not going to do that. And in the second half, whether it was Stefanski or whether it was Shador just not going rogue or doing whatever you want to say in order to take those shots, he didn't take the shots that I know he typically would take. And so that was a little bit of a surprise. But I don't think it's going to be something that stays with him. I really don't. I think yesterday was the exception, not the rule.
The only thing I would say is, if you're Kevin Stefanski, how is that not what you want to see out of Shador? Play within structure 80% of the time and 20% of the time. Now, again, this was probably play within structure 90% of the time and 10% of the time go off script. But like, if you're Stefanski, I think you should be incredibly impressed, because Shador did stick in the pocket. Even the completion where his arm got hit, and honestly, it was a little lucky it didn't get intercepted. Like, Shador stood in the pocket in the first half and delivered, even though a lot of the ones that he was delivering were 5-yard passes or 10-yard passes.
So what I would do is I would remind Shador, honestly, what I would do is I would take the Adam Schefter report from over the weekend that happened on Saturday, and I would highlight the part where it explicitly states what the Browns loved about what they saw in the Raiders game. They loved two things, and one of those things, Nick, was that big pass to Isaiah Bond. Like, the people that are making these decisions love that you made that throw. Keep making those type of throws. Don't let yourself get, I don't know, even doubt yourself based off of weather and what happened with the Bond play. Like, keep doing what you had to do. It shouldn't be that hard.
Oh, I don't think, listen, I thought the game plan in the second half was booty cheeks, and I think it set the offense up to fail, which stinks. Because the offense, at least for one half of football, played well enough to win. But I don't think yesterday was some sort of push and pull between Stefanski and Shador. I think Shador did what Stefanski wanted to do, and I think that's okay. That's going to have to be okay for 80% of the game. Like, that is what you're getting.
We still have to see some of that other 20%, and we didn't see that in the second half. And so, that's where I would tell Shador.
Wasn't there one downfield attempt?
The one that got caught up in the wind, but
that counts.
Yeah, I guess so. But I need to see Shador go back to what we know he can do, and that's the thing. I don't want to see him get bogged down by a Stefanski offense that I've seen. I've seen this happen to Dylan. I think about it with Dylan. Coach Riz tells me all the time. He's like, go back and watch the Oregon tape. Night and day different from what he was with Stefanski. And he doesn't mean that as a positive. He means more the idea that Dylan would actually stretch the field and Dylan would actually throw the ball. And then he got with Stefanski and he didn't do that anymore. And I don't want to see that happen to Shador. I don't think it will. In perfect conditions, I don't think it's possible to have that happen, but it clearly happened yesterday.
Now let's go ahead and play. So there was a report on, it was actually Saturday, the report that the Browns are open to sticking with Shador for a considerable amount of time, which I thought was the okayest part of that. It's like, well, yeah, they should be.
It was an odd report. It was an odd way to put the report, because it's like, oh, no, duh. Guy plays well. He keeps his job. What are we doing here?
But Stefanski was asked about that yesterday after the game. Here's what he had to say.
When you say that Shador will start next week, are you still taking this week by week, or are you prepared to say that he's kind of your guy?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all that, Mary Kay, other than to say we all have to just play better.
All right, I also want to get to something he said today. And so again, that was yesterday after the game. Today, he was asked if Shador is still week to week, which we're going to get to. It's Stefanski 01 from today, which we're going to get to in just a second here. Because Kevin has been given multiple opportunities to shoot down or to side with a report, and he sidestepped it. But here's Stefanski from today.
The notion of kind of just not looking beyond this week, is that still your strategy for this? And what is the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I'm just dealing with our football team week to week, but I'm pleased with his progress. He knows he wants to continue to get better and better, and that's the right attitude to have, and that's why we'll continue to work.
I think this Tennessee game sets up to be the game that can push Shador over the top in Stefanski's eyes. If he can keep doing what he did in the first half of the San Francisco game, while also continuing to do what he did in the Raiders game, which is make big plays down the field.
Yeah, and it should be set up very nicely for him. Like, if I was Shador and I'm like, wait, what game am I going to bet everything on? The Tennessee game is the game you want. Like, getting to the Tennessee game was the goal. Now you get to, like, he should have a chance to tee off, you would imagine, against a really bad Tennessee team. I mean, they're going nowhere fast. So, like, getting to this spot mattered. But I did think it was interesting that the report suggested that the Browns were going long-term here, and Stefanski clearly didn't go that direction.
Did you want more from Stefanski?
Kind of. All this tells me is that Stefanski doesn't talk to Adam Schefter, is what this tells me. Like, I don't know who in the front office, I don't know who around the Browns is the one talking to Adam Schefter, but it's clearly not Kevin Stefanski, because that's not how he sees it.
I'm still not convinced. Sorry, I'm still not concerned that they haven't stepped up and just been, Shador's got it the rest of the way as long as he's healthy. I'm not concerned. But I do think, yesterday was, and this is tough to say because it's a Browns misery Monday. You got blown out. I understand if you don't feel this way as a fan. I think you saw steps in the right direction, continued steps in the right direction from Shador, and it's all the stuff we tend to not care about. It is operational stuff. It is take the easy plays that are there, and there are going to be more easy plays that he has to hit even from there. But I think if you combine the Raiders game and the Niners game, man, do I think you have a chance to kind of meet what Stefanski wants and what we want as fans and just – be interesting the final five games of the season.
There's been a spot in each game, Nick, where I've looked and said, okay, I've seen enough for today in regards to, like, he's got next week. This will be enough now. It was the Isaiah Bond play in the Raiders game, and then it was the Fannin touchdown in yesterday's game. Once he hit that Fannin touchdown, I said, okay, I don't have to sweat about the post game. I know he's going to at least be able to have the Titans game, and then we'll go from there.
Now, I think we got to go to line three here, because if you guys missed the show on Wednesday, I lost my mind when I thought James Madison head coach Bob Chesney, who at that point was the odds-on favorite. I kept saying second favorite, second best odds to be the Penn State head coach on Wednesday. During the show, the odds had shifted that he was actually going to be the guy. Turns out the rest of the weekend happened, and he's the new head coach at UCLA. But I mocked Bob Chesney. And it says Robert Chesney right here from Robert Chesney's Used Car Emporium is calling in. Coach, welcome to the show. Is that you?
No. Hello, sirs. This is Robert Chesney. I'm the father of Bob and Kenny Chesney.
How you do, sir?
I'm very, very well, sir. I'd just like to say I heard you talking about my boy Bob, and I just want to let you know he never wanted to be called Robert or Bob. He was always Bob Chesney. And we realized very early on he couldn't carry a tune like his brother Kenny. Oh, heck. He couldn't carry a tune any more than I could carry Ken Carmen. It's just outrageous. But Bob Chesney, you want to talk about him going to UCLA? Why would you diminish my boy for flying cross-country to make millions of dollars a year just to go for 7 wins, get fired, and get paid to do nothing?
That's fair. You know what?
He wants to know.
You know what? Mr. Robert Chesney, on air, I'm going to say I apologize to Robert Chesney, to Bob, not Bobby Chesney, and to Kenny Chesney. His music's still terrible, but he makes a lot of money doing it, and that is the American dream.
I got to ask you, Mr. Chesney, what line of occupation did you find yourself in?
Oh, I'm Robert Chesney. You should come on down to Robert Chesney's Used Car Emporium. We have the best deals. We got a 1998 Tahoe on special today. It's only got a couple of dents, but she runs just fine.
All right, Mr. Robert Chesney, we say thank you, sir.
That's how I think of your son, too. Thank you.
That was like Dusty Rhodes.
It got Southern.
But there was also a little MLK in there.
I don't know. I heard it. I heard it, too. Yeah, I thought we were doing. I heard it too.
Talk about the craziest conspiracy theories. MLK never was assassinated, but he retired and adopted two children named Kenny and Bob, and one became Kenny Chesney, and one became Bob Chesney.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, who didn't love what happened this weekend? I found myself being a little greedy, I will admit it, when Ohio State was up considerably. I wanted them to report on. Good for Ryan Day.
You were
Day.
Thinking of Albert, weren't you?
Oh, man. It was, I was Kylo Ren from one of the damn Star Wars movies saying more. I wanted, you could have won by 50, and I don't think it would have been enough. By the way, what they did on Saturday was more than enough. That was a hell of a win.
Yeah, a great win. It's interesting how you can just in 1 year's time basically wipe away all the losing that he did to Michigan, but like that, I felt the happiest for Ryan Day. I think we all did, but it was a great game. Did you have any fear in the beginning at all?
No. Even after the Julian Sand interception, I was like, okay.
The fact that they held him to field goals in both of those,
yeah, they're just not a good offense. Michigan.
It was just one of those deals. The fact that they held him to field goals, you just kind of knew it's like, all right, Michigan's not going to punch it in, and they'll be all right.
And it felt like so. I don't expect this Michigan to be the Michigan going forward. I think their quarterback's going to get better. They started him as a true freshman.
Yeah.
I think given an offseason, given more talent around him.
They're down to their third running back.
Like, I think the kid actually can play if they can just develop him. But the reality is, you needed this. What you needed is you needed a moment to say, there's really no more knocks left on me. Right? And the only, listen, you can lose against Indiana in the Big Ten title game and no one's going to panic. You're going to be in the playoffs. You're going to be fine. Going forward, you can lose a regular season game, and it's just not going to cost you as long as it's not Michigan. And so for Ryan Day, if every year he's doing one of these two things, beating Michigan or winning a national champion or winning a national championship or doing both, then nothing else matters.
Yeah, he's got some equity built up. The Jeremiah Smith play was amazing. Even just from Jump Street, by the way, like Jenny Taft on the sidelines asking Ryan Day before the game got underway. And we talk about like psycho Ryan Day. I thought that was psycho Ryan Day. Like he was like, yeah, we're going to come out. We're going to be really incredibly aggressive. It was just a different vibe to him. And I saw it. And then obviously we saw it play out that way.
Can I tell you who I'm most excited to see that over the next probably year and a half now?
Bob Chesney.
Of the used car. That's Robert Chesney. Sorry. No, it's Julian Sain. He starts the game with a huge blunder. The rest of the game, 233 yards and 3 touchdowns. That kid did not look impacted by the environment of that game. Every quarterback, Will Howard last year, you could tell was the moment was huge. Kyle McCord, who went on to be in the NFL. Kyle McCord. We've seen so many different players, Braxton Miller, JT Barrett, all these guys, even when they've won, they've had the oh no moments. I didn't feel like, even when I say oh no moment, I mean it's like, oh, the rivalry's getting to him. Even the interception, that kid was just making a play.
Yeah.
Like at no point did I see him turtle. And that, listen, he's a little bit undersized. I don't know he's going to be a truly great NFL quarterback the way people think 2 years from now. It's just as simple as he'll be a top 10 pick. He might be because of the Ohio State brand. I'll tell you, that kid's a gamer. A kid has like that. I think he could be Baker. What Baker was for Oklahoma, I think Julian Sand can be for Ohio State.
Now, I think the obvious question off that is, did he win the Heisman in this? Everyone's wondering, did he have his Heisman moment? Did he have his? And I don't know that he's got enough to leapfrog Fernando Mendoza, but if you're ever going to make a case, a game like that helps.
Yeah, I actually would. I think because they won so commandingly, and it's almost like his Heisman moment is responding to the interception, where how he responded them after the interception to me, and again, 230 yards after the interception, 3 touchdowns, I don't know how that isn't a Heisman moment.
I think a lot of Ohio State fans will look at it that way. I don't know that that's going to reach the amount of voters that vote on the Heisman the same way. Because like you have to pay attention to everything in order to figure that out.
No, that's fair. I think I would be surprised if a fair amount of those people didn't actually pay attention to that game, given that we've turned rivalry weekend into, hey, why don't we play Oklahoma LSU? Why don't we put the Egg Bowl on Friday? That'd be another takeaway from this weekend. Can we get rivalries back in rivalry weekend? Can we get like a Oklahoma State again? I know they're in different conferences. It shouldn't be that hard to make this happen.
Alabama Auburn was a lot of fun.
What an overrated rivalry that is.
I had a lot of fun with that game. You're just salty because all the Alabama Auburn fans think that it's anywhere close to the game.
No, I just think they're wrong and potentially inbred.
No, and maybe that's true too. But that just became my thing. It kind of is your thing already. It's not like becoming your thing.
No.
It kind of is your thing. Pittsburgh fans are inbred.
Southern.
Anyone from the South is inbred.
Yeah.
At this point, it's becoming easier to name parts of the country that isn't considered inbred by you.
The Southwest. I've never said anyone from the Southwest is inbred. The Northwest.
Where do you draw the line? The heartland is where you draw the line, really.
Of the North. The Northern Heartland, not the Southern Heartland.
I was going to say, I don't know that you think that.
In the Southern Heartland.
Do I have to pull up the Google Maps of worldwide inbred populace?
Well, you're the one that added Greece to... No, Iran, or was that Iraq?
You don't even remember.
You don't even remember, I think.
Jordan was the big one.
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan was the big one.
And not Jordan Hudson.
No, that's weird, too.
Although that would explain that.
I can't even defend her. I refuse to defend her.
And no one should.
I refuse. Where's her rivalry weekend, by the way? What are we going to do there? It's her versus Bill.
Her versus Pablo.
Her versus Pablo.
No, it's her versus Bill's legacy.
The Saturday night premiere. That's what it should have been.
216-474-0092. Ohio State gets a big win in the game.
This is what the game should have been last year, by the way. That's what it should have been last year. That's what made so much trepidation going into this so interesting/funny, is that last year you're 21.5-point dogs, and then everyone puffs their chest out and says you're going to beat them and you lose, and then this year you're actually less. You're 9-point favorites, and then you obviously get the win in a convincing way. This is what last year should have been.
That said, I can't, because he lost last year, I can't think of a coach who has gone from a majority of fans wanted him fired to, if he wins a natty this year, after beating Michigan this year, there's going to be people asking, is he one of the 3 best Ohio State head coaches of all time, or is he one of the 2 best? Because I think that is the glow-up. If they win this year, this team's more impressive than last year.
Are we going to crystallize a Ross Bjork, we'll call it the non-decision, in order to make sure they don't fire him after the Michigan game last year?
Biggest moment in Ohio State
history.
Biggest
moment in Ohio State history, the non-decision. Bjork being like, we're not firing him after this game and letting him play out the string.
I mean, it was kind of a chicken bleep move.
Some are wondering, hey, a lot of people get fired in the middle of the season.
Mm.
That is the thing that happened. Ask James Franklin.
You tell me Brian Hartline couldn't have won the Natty line?
Ask James Franklin how different this could have gone.
216-474-0092. Did you like Ohio State winning with humility, or would you have liked to see him maybe pour it on a little bit? He was great. He was classy. That's the way Ryan Day should do it. I also would have liked 2 more scores there. You could have gotten at least 2 more. They did it right. I still would have liked the less classy move.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.